Brian, I don't want to go out on a limb too far here by myself and say that Kelly Roberts got the idea for her ginormous podcast by being on our show, because I don't think that's true. But sometimes, late at night, that's what I have to tell myself in order to deal with getting up the next day. That we helped give her the idea for the next branch of the Kelly Roberts empire. I'm doing that for myself. I'm not including you in that. You're way more secure as a person.
Peter, I've been on vacation for so long. I don't know what podcasts are. I don't know what running is. I think maybe you gave Kelly a microphone and said, use this.
I don't think we even did that. I think it was on the phone or Skype.
We seemed to be having so much fun.
Yeah, I think...
No, you know what? I think podcasting has been around quite a while, and anybody can do it. It's really quite easy and inexpensive.
Much like running, if you and I can do it, anybody can do a podcast.
If you can afford running sneakers, you can afford to make a podcast.
So this is our very exciting episode with Kelly Roberts. This was the first time we talked. A big thank you to Chris Heisler for connecting us. And did you say that you got a little audio message from her as a little update recently?
We did. We have a little update, and we will insert that at the end of the show before the credits. So stay tuned for new information from Kelly Roberts.
Well, here it is. Again, one of our most listened to episodes, but we just had to release it one more time for those who are new to the show.
Peter, just before we go into this.
What's happening?
I just want to tell you.
Uh-oh.
This was actually quite a coup in our little world, because people were telling us, we want to hear from Kelly Roberts. And we're like, she's this big social media person. She's never going to respond to us. And lo and behold, a week later, we're interviewing her on Skype, and it was totally fun. And she's a down-to-earth real person, and it was really cool. And I just wanted to say that.
And we've since had her on the Marathon Show in Boston. And then you just recently saw her in New York City and went for a run. And you're moving in to her place?
No,
that's not true?
I don't think so.
Social media lies.
Well, if she's hosting an Airbnb, maybe.
That's probably.
But it would
what
only
it
be for a night.
That's probably what it was. Yeah. When she goes back to California, you can have the New York place for like one night.
Yeah, for like $4,500 a night.
Yeah, it's cheap.
That's New York. HWIRT presents
Summer Rewind. And now we remus.
Snazzy piece. Now we bet she.
Ahoy, Brian.
Ahoy, matey.
Listen, we don't have a whole lot of time to dilly-dally. We are once again going to be joined by a fabulous guest, Miss Kelly Roberts of Run, Selfie, Repeat. But before we get to that groundbreaking interview, Brian, how was your run today?
Peter, I ran 18 miles this morning.
Oh!
That's a lot of miles.
That's a whole lot. It'd be a lot if you and I each ran 9, but I didn't do any, and you did 18.
That's absolutely true. I did it on the Minuteman Bikeway, which is a rail trail, and I chose it specifically because it's nice and flat. I didn't want to add any hills because I've been having some major calf pain and soreness and tightness, which did affect me in the first 4 miles, but I worked through it and wound up doing it in a little under 3 hours. Thanks to my new running buddy.
Yeah.
Our friend, Ellen London.
She's fabulous, and I'm so glad she joined you.
So she wrote me an email and said, hey, you doing any runs coming up? And I said, yeah, I'm running 18 tomorrow. You want to join me? Ha, ha, ha. She's like, yeah, I need to do 18 tomorrow. That doesn't happen very often, Peter. So we ran it. It was great. And the weather was actually fantastic. It was overcast in the 40s. And just the best running weather. So it was really good.
She strikes me as someone who can set a good pace.
Yeah, I held her back the entire time. So much so, she had to go run like a 4 mile, quote unquote, cool down afterwards. Because what we did was sort of just like, you know, warming it up.
Yeah, I could see you being just like an anchor to her. So way to go.
Peter, she's qualified for the Boston Marathon before. So
she's a real person.
Yeah.
We're not. And
hey, Peter.
Hello.
I'm offended by that remark. I'm a runner.
You are. And I once was.
And you shall be again. Very soon. Are you not tantalizingly close? Did you not visit your doctor?
I'm so close now, Brian. Thank you for asking. Yes, I did yesterday. Visited the old doctor, and he did the ankle probe, and
he did not do an ankle probe.
Well, he poked and prodded.
That's what the aliens do when they take you aboard their ship.
Things are good. I think I'm within a week of giving it a go, and it has to be. It has to be controlled. It has to be nothing ambitious. But
I think when you gave me the quick rundown yesterday, you said something like monitored running. Yeah.
They're gonna
Can
put,
you explain that?
I'm going to be in the lab. I'm going to be studied by a bunch of grad students over the course of a 36-hour period. No, I just mean, like, let's not go...
I can just imagine you with, like, tubes coming out of your head and wearing an astronaut diaper. That's going to be hilarious.
Yes, I'm going to be... intravenously fed the whole time.
No. You're going to have one of those drip tubes like a hamster
like
has.
A hamster,
and you have to speed up to get a little drip.
Yep. Like a meatloaf hanging on a vine coming down from the ceiling. Just on a vine.
No, Vine has been canceled.
Oh, right. So it won't be a Vine. No, it'll be on Instagram.
Wait a minute. Instagram? Vine? Peter, social media. How does that relate to today's guest?
Only in the sense that it's Kelly Roberts as our guest, and she
Run Selfie Repeat
of Run Selfie Repeat, and she is a blogger, YouTuber, Instagram, a maven. She is dominating all social media platforms with her excellent humor and observations about the world of running, and we were honored to have her and come join us by Skype. So let's go listen to her right now.
Let's dive in.
Brian, I'm so excited. We have Run Selfie Repeat's very own Kelly Roberts on with us. Kelly, I've been wanting to ask you this for months. How was your run today?
It was probably a top 10 worst run I've ever had. Thank you so much for asking and bringing it up.
All right. Well, thanks so much for coming on.
Yeah, that was great. Who's the next guest?
Moving on.
Kelly, that sounds like a taper run.
How much time do you have? Let's talk about it. You guys, tapering is the world's worst.
Yes,
I don't
is.
Know whose idea it was, but I would love to have a word with them.
There's a whole tapering lobby that spends money on promoting it.
It was bad. Like, it was really bad.
You know what's funny is during the taper, you're supposedly healing, but you feel worse. Like parts of your body that never hurt before ever, and you're putting in all these long runs, during the taper is like, oh, both ankles hurt and my knee and my hips hurt now. Where did that come from? And I'm running, you know, a third of what I ran 3 weeks ago.
Yeah. Today I was supposed to run 12 miles. At about like mile five, I was like, oh my God, my knee. What is that? I've broken my knee. And then like a mile later, like the back of my knee was hurting. And I was like, oh my God, I pulled something. Like, what have I done?
Yeah. We,
and I'm
we...
like stopping and I'm stretching and I'm breathing heavy and I'm looking around like someone stole my purse.
We call that cringe knee.
Yeah, we call we have crankle and cringe.
Crankle and cringe knee, and they just happen while you're running, and then they sort of work themselves out, or they're career-ending injuries, one or the other.
Yeah, I stopped at 8, and I was like, "Screw it! Like everything's broken. I need to go to a doctor." So I just went and got a cupcake.
That is
and called it a day.
That's a definition of a taper run. Although it may have been the mini trampolines during the half marathon a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, God, what was that? Honestly. That was the most fun race ever, but also I'm 80% sure that it is the reason why I am in pain.
So this is, you're a week out from New York, and when this actually hits the streets, you'll be just mere hours away, really, from running it. How are you feeling?
You'll be in the corral.
But your taper run today aside, like, how are you feeling? Because you did just do Chi-Town.
Oh, God.
You're a maniac. In what world did you think, and you're young, we're old and we're stupid, but you're young and wise. So tell me, what was your logic where you were like, I'm signing up for Chicago, and I'm going to do New York right after.
And I'll do the Runner's World Festival in between.
You know what? When this all went down in February, I'm raising money for the charity Save the Children.
Yes.
And they were like, hey, do you want to do Chicago and New York? I was like, yeah, I do. That sounds like a really good idea. I love running. And so... I was like, 1 month, perfect. Because last year I did Berlin and New York back to back.
Yeah.
And it was no big deal. Totally fine.
And it will be fine. You're going to be totally fine. But like,
was that, you guys, I don't know. Those mini trampolines at the Runner's World Half like ruined my life.
But when did that come up? So the timeline's kind of interesting. So you signed up for Chicago first.
Yes.
And now you backfilled and Runner's World came next? Or did you know New York was going to be on the docket?
I knew New York was going to be on the docket. And I knew I was going to that Runner's World weekend. But I told them I wasn't going to run anything. I was just going to hang out. But then Goldie Graham.
That's like saying I'm going to go to a friend's party, but I'm not drinking tonight.
Yes, I should have known. Well, you know, the first day I was smart and I wore like sneakers that I couldn't run in and I didn't wear a sports bra, like to make sure I didn't do the 10K or the 5K. And I literally almost did it still. Like I was in the corral and Bart Yasso was like, you know, have you met Bart Yasso before?
No.
No.
That man is the epitome of peer pressure. Like he trolled me all weekend long. Oh, like everywhere great. I went, he was like, Kelly, not only did I do Chicago and I'm doing New York, but I'm also doing MCM. Like, where you at? And I was like, oh my God, leave me alone, Bart.
Bart, you're saying Bart Yasso is a running bully? That's awesome.
He like everywhere I went, he was like right there, like, Kelly, why aren't you running?
And that explains
feeling.
That totally explains why Yassos are the worst, like the worst workout. Yeah.
That's right. That explains.
They're a form why. Of bullying torture in a run.
One more half mile. Even faster.
No. Go faster.
He's the best. And yeah, no, because then we passed him in the half marathon. Mm. And I was like, look what you've done. And he's like, you're running pretty slow. And I'm like, oh my God.
Oh, he doesn't stop. Wow. Peer pressure nonstop.
So let me ask you this. So now how many times, this will be your second time doing New York or more?
Third.
And are you going for PR? Are you just going for fun? Are you going to see if you finish? Are you going, what's your feeling?
Well, I'm actually doing this thing called the Foot Locker 5 Borough Challenge, mm-hmm. which they choose one person from each borough who's had kind of an inspiring story of how running helped them overcome something. And so we start the race. Like we start before the elites and we were over the Arizona all by ourselves. They're giving us a camera crew. I'm like, are you guys, do you know what I do for a living?
That's going to feel really good when all the elites pass you though.
Exactly. And then those guys run by and I'm going to be like, high five. And they're going to be like, get out of my way. And then, yeah. So
as their motorcade pushes you aside.
As I get run over by the TV truck, I'm trying to get my selfie.
Congratulations. That's huge.
What time will they release the hounds on you then? Like the gun goes off for you at what time? 8?
I think I go off at 8:50 and then they start at like 9:30 or something.
So you'll be finished by the time they start.
Yeah. I'll be right over the Manzano. No, we actually have to stay together for the first 13 miles. Mm-hmm. So you have to run as slow as your slowest runner. Mm-hmm. And then you like go Hunger Games on each other and you take off and like try to beat each other. And there's like a Tiffany trophy at stake.
Really?
Yeah, so you send drones up with poison tips at people.
I'm just going to have all the NP people, November Project people at mile 10 trip people.
No, they just come out and hug everybody. And that slows them down.
Slows them right down.
Mad NP hugs.
Fill them with kindness.
All right, wait, let's bring it back. How old were you when you started running for real?
I started running 4 years ago now. 2012.
And when you started, did you think, oh yeah, I'm just going to be doing back-to-back marathons and all sorts of things? Or did you not really have the vision quest in the sense of race domination? Is this a byproduct of just the activity and the social dominance that you're trying to grab? Or is it, no, racing always intrigued you?
Never. I mean, if you could have seen me on my first run, I started running on Thanksgiving Day. Like it's the best runniversary in the world. But I think it took me an hour and a half to go 3 miles, if that's an indication of how that went.
Well, that says to me you had commitment to finishing it, which is...
I have no idea. It was horrible because I don't know why the next day I'm like, you know what? That really sucked. I'm going to do it again. Like, let's go. Yeah. Like I can't walk, but let's go.
Yeah.
I don't know. I started running and 2 months after I started running, I ran my first half marathon and like totally... hit a wall in the middle of it and like took off way too fast with my friend trying to keep up with her. And she ditched me at 3, but like, I almost quit my first half marathon. Like that's how much, like I was so underprepared, but I don't know. I slept for 15 hours after that. And then people kept being like, when are you going to run your first marathon? When are you gonna do a marathon? And I was like, I will never, ever, 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 ever run a marathon. Like that was the worst thing I've ever done.
Is that when Bart Yasso started trolling you on Twitter?
Yeah. Yeah.
When did you realize you wanted to fold sort of the social media chronicling of it in? Was that right away or did that come just after?
No, that came way later. So I ran my first marathon when I was still living in San Diego. And then after that, I decided to move to New York. I kind of like was like, okay, if I can run a marathon, I can do anything.
I can handle New York.
Yeah, screw that city. And so I came out here and I was actually getting ready to break up with the guy I was seeing at the time. And so I was like having a really bad day. And we were kind of fighting and he was like, I can't hang out tomorrow. I'm going to go see my friend, some girl, run the New York City half. And I'm like, what? Why can't I come? And I'm like, screw it. I'm going to run that race and I'll run by and be like, hey. And so I did what you're not supposed to do, which I did not know was a thing. And I bought a bib. And I totally was not ready to run that half marathon. It was the New York City half. And to make myself laugh and survive, I took selfies with hot guys behind me. And my sister is a social media manager and was like, this is hilarious. We should do something with this. Let's make this a BuzzFeed article.
Absolutely.
So we did. And the next thing I know, 2 hours later, Good Morning America was on the phone with me. And
the rest is selfie history.
Professional running blogger.
Yeah, you are. So that's awesome that the genesis of all this is vengeance. I really appreciate that.
It all started with the guy.
Now you said professional. Is this your actual, day to day?
Is this your job?
It is my job, except it's more like 5 a.m. until like midnight.
Yeah. And what's the battle plan for you? Do you see, okay, in 2017, this is what I'd like to see happen. In 2020, do you have that kind of layout in your mind?
Yeah, definitely. I kind of have what I want to become. I mean, I can't keep running marathons forever. I want to be able to run them for fun and not for content. Mm-hmm. But I do have ideas.
Do people come at you and it's a genuine thing, or is it a running based thing, or is it a celebrity based thing, or is it all those things?
It's definitely a running thing. Like, I would not call myself a celebrity by any means, but the biggest wake up call to where like the level we reached was during Chicago. I decided to do like a shakeout run because I kind of launched this initiative this summer called the Sports Bra Squad, where I'd always wanted to like have the courage to run in my sports bra, but I was like so insecure with my body still, which is total and complete BS, because come on, if I can run a marathon for fun, in what world am I still like, oh, I'm not good enough. So finally one day I'm like, screw it, I'm doing it. And I kind of put it out there and I saw people responding to it. And I'm like, all right, we have something here. And I know that women of all sizes struggle with this. So we made the hashtag Sports Bra Squad, and women started, you know, taking off their shirts and shedding their insecurities with them kind of and working through it. So I wanted to do a big run and I knew it was going to be in Chicago. So I teamed up with Run Weston. And we hosted this Sports Bra Squad, and I'm like, I bet 12 to 20 people will come. And they're like, perfect, we can handle that. And so I put the Eventbrite thing out there, and like I watched the RSVPs, you know, like build up. And we were like 75, and then we were at 100, and then we were at 125. And I'm like, oh my God. And I'm like, okay, I bet half these people will come. And I'm late to everything I do. So I was, of course, late to my own run, even though it was in my hotel. And I walk in, and everyone's laughing. They're like, we knew you'd be late. And there was like 140, 150 people there.
Wow.
And I was like, oh my God. And so getting to talk to everyone was like the most surreal thing I've ever done. So we're doing it again in New York, and right now we're sitting at 250. So that's pretty insane.
Well, what day would that be in relation to the race?
That's the day before the marathon. I think it's the 5th at 9:30, finish line physical therapy.
That's amazing.
I'm so excited. It's the best. Like getting to hear, I mean, I have a rough story. Running definitely has been like, to get serious for a second, running definitely like saved my life, I would almost say. So, and I'm really open and honest about the things that I've gone through on my blog and platforms. So getting to hear other people's stories is pretty amazing.
Well, to that point, we actually solicited some questions from our audience, and I have one that I want to ask you on behalf of Jenny, and she writes to you, I know running has helped you through grief and loss. True for me too. How would you describe that connection?
It's hard. I lost my brother in 2009, super unexpectedly and tragically. He was 16, and I gained a lot of weight after he passed away. Like I don't know, I'd never weighed myself at my heaviest, but I was over 75 pounds. And I've never been athletic. Like I was the kid who literally sprained her ankle to get out of PE. I missed like 75 days of school my senior year to get out of PE. That's how much I hated anything active. So figuring out how to lose the weight and struggling in a gym, trying to look a certain way, didn't work for me. Like I need accomplishments to motivate myself. So I think when I started running, it gave me something to be proud of. And it's so cheesy to say, but there is something super inspiring and helpful about putting one foot in front of the other when you don't know which way is up and down and forward. It just helps you get through the day. So, I mean, I still struggle with my grief. Like there are days when I don't want to get out of bed, and knowing that I can just like put my shoes on and either like walk, run, or run really, really hard, and you feel better about yourself and you just feel more connected, and it just gives you the tiniest bit of hope, if that makes sense.
No, it totally makes sense. And the thing that I find is that running is the few times where it's like meditation. We've said that in the past. And it's one of those times where you're out and it's you, but it's everything that you bring with you, which can be your successes. It can be your failures. It can be your grief. It can be loss. And it's a time for you to just start unpacking stuff, and not even in an organizational way. It just is a natural product of doing this thing that you know is finite. I'm going to go for 4 miles. I'm going to go for 6 miles. I'm going to go for 1 hour. But there's something that happens in that encapsulated time that helps you process everything else that's going to occur either before or after that run.
Well, you can't outrun yourself. So
I've tried it.
Me too.
So everything keeps bubbling up.
And I run so slow that I almost can outrun myself. I'm on the edge of mastering that. But
it's
but
true. I mean, and for me, there was something about pain that didn't mean I was doomed. It meant that I was getting stronger. That really resonated with me. And seeing progress and just knowing that I had something to live for. And like the day running became fun. Like it took months. Like running was horrible for me in the first, I would say like it wasn't even like, even after I ran my first marathon, I don't think I had like a good run until I moved to New York City. Like it was over a year.
You know what's shocking? When you have a good run, you lull yourself into thinking, well, they're all going to feel this way because I've hit it. I got it now. And then like the next 10 will be like, oh my God, what happened? What did I, hallucinate that?
Really, yeah. Really, Peter? Because I think what's more shocking is that she couldn't have a good run in San Diego, which is like the most wonderful place to run in the entire country. She had to come to gray, cold New York.
No, New York's the best. New York running is the best.
New York running is actually the best.
There is so much to look at and experience and smell.
Stoplight. Oh, smelling. Yeah. Oof. Woof.
What, speaking of different locations you've run, what's been the best physical location you've ever run outside in?
Versailles. You can run the grounds. Like there's like, I think it's like 10 miles of grounds, of gardens that you can run. So when we went, like I brought my running clothes. This is literally like a week after I ran Berlin. So I'm like a crazy person. I'm like, I'm going to try to run. So I like packed my running clothes.
That's actually what a crazy person says. And now they going to try to run.
So my friends all wanted to ride bikes, so they rode bikes and I ran, and it was so much fun. It was amazing. It was spectacular.
Would you ever ultra or no as 26
points? Hell no.
That's the right answer.
I didn't even say the point two part. She cut me off. She's like, nope, I'm good. You can keep your point two. I don't want any more than that.
I do want an Ironman though.
You do?
Yeah.
I could see that.
Do you currently cross train? Actually, we had a question about how you keep in shape. Is it just running? And actually, my wife wanted to know, have you found a way to love burpees yet? And is there any other cross training you do?
I like cheat at burpees. I do like the jump up and then I step back and kind of like hold it and like move my arms a little bit. Brogan made us do, he didn't make us do. He and Goldie did push-ups during the Runner's World Half, like at every mile marker. So like if you were at mile 5, they did 5 push-ups. And I'm like, hell yeah, I'm going to try to do this too. We literally got to 3 and I'm like, I'm out. Like, tap me out. I'm just going to like lay on the ground.
Just cheer him on.
No, burpees are the worst. I don't know how people do burpees. I have one muscle on my right side from holding my GoPro, and it's pretty impressive.
Oh, you got GoPro bump.
Yeah, I don't want to brag, but it's there. You have to look really closely, but I check it out in the mirror every once in a while. I do a lot of spinning. I really like spinning. That's my cross training.
I like it because you sit for a third of it.
I'm really competitive. And have you ever done flywheel?
No.
It's a $100,000 spin class. that you literally have to give your kidney to take. And they have this board and points. So instead of them being like, turn the knob once, they're like, go to 15. So you know the numbers. And if I'm spending a lot of money to go to a spin class, like I really want to get a good workout. So knowing like my personal bests, and they list like girls versus boys, and it's always like the best feeling in the world to kick some guy's ass and watch his face. So.
Oh, because it's, you know, in real time how you're doing?
Yeah, and you know who the people are because you can always tell the guy who's getting his ass kicked because he's looking around like a mad guy going like, who's Kelly?
And
I'm like,
hey, bro. And you're like, hey, it's me with the GoPro on. Look, we're live blogging.
So I do that. It's fun. It's also really expensive.
So I wanted to ask you a quick question related to your latest blog post, because I'm someone who's struggled with my weight ever since I was a kid. So body image and fitness and internal feeling and the theme of your latest one about being comfortable with really who you are. And what advice or thoughts do you have about helping people navigate and who may want to start first time running?
For me, I've always tied my weight or my body image very closely to shame. I've never been happy with my body. Like when I got made fun of in school, I was always called hippo. And what's crazy is I was never really overweight growing up, like in elementary school, middle school, high school. It really wasn't until my brother passed away that I gained weight. And I was obese, like that, clinically speaking, I was obese, which I really didn't actually find out until I wrote that post. And I was looking up the definition of obese and I was like, oh my God, crazy. But I deleted every single photo of myself, or I tried to, when I was at my heaviest, which is super unfortunate because, especially now that I've lost someone, I know how important photographs are in those moments in time that you can capture of the different places that you are in your life. And it breaks my heart that I was so ashamed of myself that I did not want proof or anything, like anything to live on, that I was at this place. And even after this is what started everything. After I lost all my weight, which I will tell you, losing a lot of weight is very difficult. It's not impossible and it's totally worth it, but it's hard.
It's very hard.
And after I lost all my weight, I wasn't happy. I was still really struggling, but I had this amazing therapist who was working with me on that. And she taught me that you can work out until the cows come home. You can spend every single day doing burpees and sit-ups and spinning and running and swimming and counting calories and eating nothing but lean meats, fruits, and vegetables. But unless you work on how you see yourself, you will never be happy. And you will never learn to like appreciate your strengths and what you have, regardless of where you're at. You know, she taught me just to be able to say, like, because I remember my big thing was like, I walk and my thighs touch and I can't wear shorts because I chafe. And she was like, you have two legs that get you out of bed in the morning,
right,
and that move you around. Like, that is what you need to focus on. That is something you need to be grateful for. And she really taught me how to be grateful. And so once I started running, I remember when I decided to run my first marathon, I'm like, I'm going to lose 25 pounds. I'm going to have that bikini body that I always thought I needed. And I got my undergraduate degree in theater. And one of the reasons why I didn't pursue like a career in the arts as an actress was because I couldn't even fathom facing a life of people telling me that I needed to lose weight. I couldn't do it.
Right.
And so I started running, and then when I ran that marathon and my body changed, but I didn't really lose any weight and I didn't have the body that I thought I needed. That was the first time I really felt proud of my body.
Yeah.
And I was still like a size 8-10. I was still like 160 pounds. And that was kind of the first time that I was like, oh wow, okay, I think I know what she was talking about. Like, I feel great and I think I deserve to feel great. I'm gonna start working on that. Social media is so difficult, especially when this is your job, because you find yourself using only pictures of yourself that look beautiful or that you look like your greatest. And for me, like really like posting unflattering pictures of myself that I can still be proud of is really my way of keeping myself in check and not being ashamed of, you know, like my stomach or, you know, love handles or stretch marks or stuff, because my body is so strong. Like, I just ran a 3-hour and 41-minute marathon. Like,
right.
If I can't be proud of how I look in a sports bra, like who can? Like in what world do we get to like define what is strong by how it looks? Like, I know what strong feels like because I'm there. Like, I've worked my butt off. right. for 6 months to get to this place. And I'm just so sick and tired of seeing people put themselves down before they build themselves up. That the sports, that was the whole point of the sports bra squad, was to be like, dude, say yes to yourself. Like, I'm done. I'm done looking in the mirror and being like, oh, I'll never be able to run in this, or I'll never wear these shorts, or oh, my cellulite shows, or God, I have these stretch marks. Like, screw it. I could care less. If you want to yell something at me while I'm running 8 minute miles for 13 miles, like, I'm just going to wave at you and tell you to have a beautiful day because I'm in a great mood, you know?
Right. Absolutely.
It's just mind boggling. But I mean, we live in this culture where, like, you open Twitter and it's like, get Kate Hudson's abs, or like, eat food to lose weight. And you're like, why can't you just eat food to live and eat healthy and find something that you have fun doing working out? Like, why?
I have this goal for myself. So I'm 45 now, and I have this goal that by the time I'm 60, I want to have enough back hair that's white. No, go with me on this. I want to have my back hair go so jet white, like my chest already has, that I can be the guy who runs outside in shorts only. And like, yeah, Rubenesque or whatever you want to call me, right? No, go with this. Hey, look at the balding guy without the shirt, but that's cool because he's cool with it.
Why can't you do that now?
Well, I could do it now, but it's like a tarantula is eating white, like, whipped cream on my back right now.
I love it.
Do you know what I'm saying? Like it's not quite even enough. It's a little Pepe Le Pew-ish back there for the second. I need it to get
Are you afraid of? Like, do you think someone's gonna come up to you and be like, sir, can we talk about your back hair?
Well, currently, because of the last 12 weeks of not running, I've packed on a good 8 to 10. I need to lose just for myself to feel good, and to be honest, physically, for my knees. Like, I got to drop another 10 just to get back to my sort of what I consider my true running weight, which is still like 210. But I had been, you know, a good 10 years ago. I have this picture on my fridge that I keep there every day, and it's a picture of 10 years ago with my son at the time playing in the water, and I'm clocking in at a good 250 in that picture, and I'm only 5'10". Like, I shouldn't be that big. I should be around the 200 mark. The doctor would say, oh, be 180, and I'd be like, that's awesome. take my lower half away, and maybe I'll do that.
Yeah.
But I keep it there because I want to remember, right? Oh, right, that's where I was then, and I know where I am now, and I know, I hope, where I'm going to be. And it's not a goal, a destination. It's more of a feeling. I want to feel good.
Yeah.
Because what I learned from training for the marathon, and Brian, you watch me, we always talk about the radical transformation that I went through. Like, when I lost like 40 pounds doing that, yeah, like it, but the problem, the thing I'm connecting with you on, Kelly, is like, I would still look at myself in the mirror, like on frigging race day, and still be like, oof, dude. And I don't know why. Now, after the race, it wasn't like that. But there was something happening beforehand it's this broken connect. Like, my eyes don't work right. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, that's why I went into therapy, for that exact reason. Like, my body dysmorphia was so out of hand. And granted, like, I needed to be in therapy. I'd lost my brother. I had a bunch of other issues that I needed to work through. And I they're not over. Like, it's no way, like, chapter closed. Like, check.
I'm good now. Everything's okay.
I'm cured. You know, like, I'm the biggest fan of therapy. I wish I could be in it right now, but I just don't have time. It was, well, like, physical therapy or therapy, like, choose one, and I had to go to PT. And poor guy, like, I treat him like a therapist.
Well, we can charge you for this hour if that's what you'd like.
I can pay you guys in cupcakes.
Okay. You know, clearly one of the reasons that you have such a growing fan base is because you are comfortable in saying the things that so many of us are either ashamed to say or not even aware that we're dealing with in terms of body image and other things. Now, I have two teenage daughters, and, you know, I'm really hoping that we can sort of break that cycle with these girls and this generation, and starting them now knowing that it's what you do and how you feel about yourself, which is really the most important. Have you, you know, connected with kids and their teens at all? And you know, you're young and no social media, but I mean, these kids have been involved in putting their images out there in the public sphere from a very young age.
I can't even imagine. I was talking to my friend Caitlin, who works at Women's Running, because she and I were both talking about, like, there's someone needs to be helping these girls in high school, especially because you're so right. Like, I can't even imagine what life would have been like with Instagram as a high schooler, like just having MySpace as a middle schooler. Was it middle school when it came out? I don't, we had Zanga. We had those live journals. Like that sucked.
When Brian and I were in middle school, we just had space. We didn't have MySpace. We just,
oh God. Like I can't even get into my MySpace to like deactivate it. Like that is still a thing that is out there. Like I've tried so hard to get that in my Zanga deleted.
Yeah,
and they don't believe it's me.
We just have a glossy 8x10s from our school portraits. That's all we have.
That's all we have.
That's our only memories of childhood.
I was like a theater kid who was just the dorkiest dork. So, I mean, there's nothing like incriminating, but there's definitely embarrassing stuff on there, which whatever, let it go. But I think for those poor girls, like I can't even imagine, and guys, like comparing yourself every single day and trying to be popular on, like, because that's my job, is to get likes and engagement. Like that is literally my job, which is why I think it's so important for me to talk about all of my shame, quote unquote shame, which really isn't shame anymore. It's
just
our experience.
Right.
And the fact that we like try to make that shame is the problem.
Well, I have
airing it out. Trying not to be perfect.
I have a great story that I think you might appreciate. There was a little incident at my daughter's soccer team. She's in high school, and they wanted to. It was brutally hot in August when they were doing sort of their double session practices, and they wanted to practice just in their sports bras, mm-hmm. Which you would appreciate. And they couldn't do it. They needed to wear their uniforms. It was a whole thing. But my cousin's wife related a hilarious story, which was she was dealing with the same thing in high school. So what they did was that all the girls agreed. I think they were playing maybe it was lacrosse or field hockey or something. They all wore their sports bras outside of their uniform shirts. And they did it on the day when all the teachers and administrators were having a meeting in a full view of the field. So the policy was changed the next day because they said that was absolutely ridiculous.
Yep.
So maybe these girls are claiming that identity for themselves now.
God, I hope so. I mean, I would love to be, this is a part of my bigger plan, is to be just a force for women in the space of getting healthy and what that looks like. Because I don't think it needs to be this thing where like, you have to slave away at the gym. Like, I wish I would have known these things that I've learned on my journey to becoming a runner, of how difficult it is and how shitty it is for a while. But like, if you can push through those first, like 1, 3, in my case, couple, 8 months, it really does get to a place where it can be super duper enjoyable and you just don't even have to worry about it. It just takes time and work, just like anything else. Like anything worth doing will not be easy. And that was a difficult pill for me to swallow, was learning actually how to work for something that was not at all in my scope of doability. That really wasn't a sentence, but I'm sticking with it.
Well, no, I think I agree with you 100%. And the thing I see is I have a theater background from way back. And when you do this kind of thing where you train for either it's a race or just for yourself to say, hey, I want to try going to the gym 20 times this month or whatever it is, it doesn't have to be something as formal as a race, but there is this build up to it, not unlike putting on like a show together and or doing a project of some artistic nature, like something that you have to chip away at, and the end result is the thing you do, and then you're on the other side of that, you look at it and you say like, wow, I did that. So mm-hmm. I've actually said out loud multiple times, well, hell, I can do this because I ran the Boston Marathon. Do you know what I mean by that? Like, I did that thing.
And all of those training runs, and especially your taper runs and everything else, just become stories in the grander narrative of you being awesome.
Yeah.
I always tell people to chase accomplishments, not, like, goal weights. Like, mm-hmm. the goal weight will handle itself if you eat correctly and, like, change your lifestyle. But chasing, like, an accomplishment, like a marathon, a 5K, a 10K, a half marathon, or doing these, like, breast cancer walks that are, you know, 3 days, like doing all these things, or just telling yourself like, I'm going to walk for 45 minutes, 3 days a week, like chasing accomplishments like that is so much like more motivating than like saying I'm going to get on the elliptical for 60 minutes so that I can lose 75 pounds.
On a scale from 1 to 10, how important is coffee?
Oh my God, 10. Are you going to talk about the coffee taper?
Well, I think
we're
going
to get some F words.
I think we should be careful. Like, yeah. I think we should be careful because I'm just curious, have you done it?
No, are you?
Right, exactly. Thank you. Okay, good. No, good. We're on the same page.
All right. Heisler's a madman then.
He is a madman.
He is. He tried to. Oh, one of my best friends who's coached by my coach, she was like, you're going to do the coffee taper. And I'm like, Josh wouldn't dare give me a coffee taper. And he did. He was like, no, we're not doing that with you. Yeah. No.
It's funny. Ironically, this morning I woke up and I was thinking about, okay, I got to get over to Brian's because we got to record the show. And I forgot that yesterday was the last day I ran out of my grind. Like, I don't have any more beans to grind. So I had to get my son and his friend to baseball this morning. So I actually had to operate a motor vehicle. Well, first off, I had to shower. I had to figure out a way to put on pants. And I put on slip-on shoes because laces weren't going to happen. I have a belt on, but I'm not sure it's buckled. Like, I can't do anything that actually involves dexterity until I get the Java. And I went and paid like $3 for a cup of coffee that I shouldn't have paid for, like, because I like to make my own. I'm very serious about it. But man, how many times in your adult life have you forgot that you ran out of coffee?
Peter, that's actually not a belt. It's a cat collar. Nice work.
That would never work.
You could pay me money to do a coffee taper. Like, I think I would probably stab someone. Like, I think someone would probably lose their life.
Are you following Caleb Daniloff's series in Runner's World about going vegetarian? And talk to me about your thoughts on that.
I read his first one and I was like, this is nonsense.
So I
declare this foolishness.
I take it you respect your canine teeth and you use them appropriately.
Cheeseburger is one of my favorite words, followed closely by like coffee and cupcake. So like me giving up steak and cheeseburgers would absolutely not. I don't believe in it.
No, I'm in agreement with you. Although recently, and I'm not saying it's Caleb's articles that are doing it, but
he's a good writer.
I've recently,
I'll give him that.
Oh, he is a good, and he makes a good argument.
Yeah, he does. That's why I couldn't read it.
So it,
I don't want you to convince me.
Okay, while we're in this zone, where are you on beer?
Oh, my favorite beer mile is like my jam. Like, I am actually really, really good at the beer mile.
If we hold an HWRIT beer mile here in Boston in the spring, would you come?
Yeah, but it has to be after March. That's when I come back.
No, of course it's going to be after March. I'm not going to do a beer mile before April.
Yeah, we're not going to shovel the course. Come on.
Cut it out.
No, I got second place in the Buck Mile, in the Buck Farm beer mile that Brogan just threw 2 weeks ago at Runner. I don't want to brag, but I'm looking at my trophy right now.
It's a nice trophy. I watched the video, like, I think I want to be doing this. I think it turned the corner. I had zero interest in
I want to try
beer mile, and now watching that video, I think I might be ready.
Kelly, did you happen to check out Runner's World posted a really interesting article this past week about female runners and the level of harassment and other things that they have to put up with? I thought it was an engaging article and an important one. Your thoughts?
Yes, and thank God. Can we just talk about the fact that I'm so sick and tired of people being like, girls get harassed all the time on the run, but here's how you cannot get harassed, and here's what you can do to not, you know, direct attention to yourself and don't run alone and do this and do that, instead of being like, guys, knock it the F off.
Right.
Like, oh my God. The responses that Runner's World piece is getting, I'm so glad they brought it up. I have to say, like, I don't experience it that much. I also don't run alone that much, but I can tell you, like, I've been so terrified when I first started running, like when you're in a suburb all by yourself and cars come up when it's dark out, and it's scary being a girl and having to run. So I am so glad that they wrote something that wasn't like, girls, here's what you can do to avoid being harassed, and actually like talking about the problem and a solution. So kudos to Runner's World. Thank God.
Yeah, kudos. This is about educating men, not about educating women.
God, poor girls. Haven't we been through enough?
Yeah, we all look at each other. We all take each other in because we're always constantly surveying our surroundings and analyzing, for lack of a better word, threat. I mean, we just are. And there's a real difference between doing anything that gets in anyone's physical or mental space. Don't do that. Just It's upsetting.
It makes me laugh because I actually just posted an article that Pop Sugar wrote about me, like after the last New York City Marathon, mm-hmm. where my thing used to be like taking selfies with guys behind me.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And having that come out and then watching guys be like, what do you think about objectifying men? And that was something I got every so often in the beginning. Right. But I honestly think that's why it picked up, because no one does that. Like no one thinks to put guys in that spot.
And I would argue that we probably are due about 2,000 to 3,000 years of male objectification. And then we can start talking about, hey, everybody chill out. But
yeah. But I wanted to be like, and in a way, like I wanted to be like, but you know what? Like I did it in a joking way. And I can guarantee that no one ever felt threatened by my stuff. And it right. wasn't a hot or not contest. It was like, I don't know how I thought to do this, but like mid race, I was like, I should get an old guy and a young guy and a black guy and an Asian guy. And like all these different, like I hit like all mm-hmm. the different, cause it wasn't hot guys. I'll be the first one to yell at hot guys when they run by. Like I do this during races. I go, boyfriend. It hasn't worked, but okay. like.
All right. So can we make a commitment then when I hit 60, or maybe I'll do this when I'm 50. If I do the shirtless white haired action, will you do a shot of me behind you?
100%.
But yeah, actually, I'd want you to objectify me.
Oh, I'll come up with a really, really good caption. A really good caption. I'll start working on it today.
All right, that's something for me to I'll focus send you some on. Draft. So again, that's not a goal, but it's an accomplishment I'm trying to
that
come up
with. That would be an accomplishment.
You touched upon it earlier, but let's go back to it real quick. Talk to me about staying injury-free, and have you maintained in the 4 years that you've been running to do so, or have you encountered anything? Because this has been very important in my world in the last 3 months.
No, when I was training for my first New York City marathon, second marathon ever, I got really bad runner's knee.
Yeah.
I went to some dumb doctor and she was like, don't run till it doesn't hurt anymore. And I'm like, lady, I'm running the New York City marathon in 2 months. If you think that's going to work, like, no. So I got into physical therapy and I found we have this amazing clinic here called Finish Line Physical Therapy, which is like for crazy elite athletes only and other people. But they really tailor it for people who are going to run through their pain. And my PT got me running injury free in 2 months. And like, I sprained my ankle a week before Berlin and he got me pain free.
Wow.
Like they are magicians.
And are you pro yoga, no yoga, more yoga? What do you got?
I hated yoga because we used to do it in college when I was overweight and it was like impossible for me. So I thought I hated yoga, but Goldie, I actually did yoga at the Runner's World thing and she changed my idea. So now I've been doing it almost every day since then. So I don't think you'll ever see me posting pictures of me like crowing, but I am digging the yoga.
That's fantastic. Yeah. I love yoga for, because as a runner, hips and hamstrings and calves get so brutalized and yoga helps open those up and keeps me running, frankly. So I'm right there with you.
I'm a fan now.
What's your optimal time for showering post-run? Are you like to sit in your own glaze for a while?
Immediate.
Oh, it's immediate.
Immediate. Unless you can hose me down. Like if it's summertime, like if I can find some guy outside hosing the sidewalk, I'll do that. I hate showering. It's my least favorite thing.
So you just want to get to it, get done and get dry, new clothes, boom.
Get in, get out.
And are you a good sleeper?
I'm a great sleeper. I'm not a good sleeper right now. Like I've literally had a nightmare every single night since Chicago. I think I'm just so afraid for New York because Chicago hurts so bad. I keep having this like nightmare that I miss the start and then another one where like mid race I like have to stop and do something.
Well, it's interesting because what I think you're describing is you literally ran a marathon, you have another one coming up, so you are mid by marathon right now. And your anxiety of is this the closest back to back you've ever done?
Yeah. For sure.
Will you ever do it again or is this like a one shot?
I want to say no, but you know, next year I'm going to do it again.
Until, like until Bart Yasso says you have to run one every week in every state.
Oh, Kelly,
I almost did Boston and London this year, and they're a week apart, and I'm so glad I didn't do that.
Have you ever run Boston?
No.
You should, man.
I almost did it this year, but I was so burnt out after last year that I like started training, and I was like, I can't do this.
Well, if you ever need a place to crash, Brian is happy to let you stay here for a small fee.
Oh, you guys, thank you.
I know. I'm sure Chris Heisler will get you like a rollaway cot in the West End.
I love that guy.
Yeah,
he's great.
He was the biggest help when I was trying to beat you.
He's extremely motivating.
And he's full of runner's wisdom.
He really is. Like, and he always texted me whenever I was having a mental breakdown. It was the weirdest thing.
Kelly Roberts, thanks so much for spending all this time with us. And we had a great time. I hope you did too.
You guys, it's been a pleasure.
And how can people, if people want to find out more about your charity that you're running from New York for, what's the best bet for them?
Yes, the charity Save the Children. You go to my website, runselfierepeat.com, and there is a link there. Or just come to my Shakeout Run and find me in person, and I will lead you to the promised land.
Oh, hello. How was your run today, family? It's me, your other favorite running podcast host, Kelly Roberts of the Run, Selfie, Repeat podcast. Did you see what I did right there? That's called the plug. Oh, hi, everybody. The dudes reached out to me and asked me if I would do a little quick update. And basically, besides running my butt off and almost being committed to a mental hospital, chasing this goal to qualify for the Boston Marathon, I've spent, since we last chatted, I tried the BQ at London, crashed and burned, but flirted with Prince Harry, so that was cool. I've been encouraging women to ditch their shirts and run on their sports bras a lot, doing a lot of that. I'm launching a new website, which is coming in the next few weeks. I just totally just spoiled my own surprise. There's that. Oh, well. It was bound to get out of the bag. Look what you made me do. just so much is happening. A lot has been going on. Things are great. I've been getting a lot more sleep, which is great. But, yeah, same old, same old. I'm finally enjoying running again, which is a huge gift, and I'm happy and hashtag blessed to be smiling when I run instead of crying. So, you know what? I'll take that. So, yeah, that's what's new with me.
Hey. This has been episode 51 of How Is Your Run Today with Peter Villa and Brian Gould. Music by Jeff Cronenberg. Anna Brooks is our social media guru. Andrea Bonnie Gould is our artist in residence.
Very special thanks to our guest, Kelly Roberts of Run, Selfie, Repeat.
Listen to us every week wherever you collect podcasts. Kelly keeps hers with a cheeseburger on top. But whenever you visit that special podcast place, please leave us a rating and a comment. Every single one of those makes a difference in how this little here show is ranked.
It's a classic. Join us every Saturday on Facebook and Twitter with your Sat Stat Chats. Tell us where you ran, how the weather was, and leave a sweet, sweet photo.
Fulfill all of your HWYRT shopping needs at our Redbubble store.
And if you love HWYRT, please share our posts on social media. It's free and easier than taking selfies while PRing during the New York City Marathon.
And for everything else, please check out the new website at HWYRT.com.
Brian.
Peter.
Have a good run today, which would make like a 19th or 20th mile for you. That might kill you. How about tomorrow? Try tomorrow.
Come on, break.
You guys, we told zero jokes.
No, but you know what? We were funny, very hilarious. In all seriousness, you're hilarious. And I love that she thinks we didn't tell jokes. Here's a joke. What's brown and sticky?
What? A stick.
A stick.
Yeah.
Let's
not tell jokes anymore.
Let's not do that. All right, That's why we don't do that.
I love those jokes.
All right, how about this?
Kelly, what do you call a magic owl?
What?
Houdini.
What did the ocean say to the shore?
Wait, say that again.
What did the ocean say to the shore?
I don't know.
Nothing, it just waved.
That's good.
That's nice. Peter has one more.
How do you wake up Lady Gaga?
How? You poker face.
Poker face.
Ah.
No, not you. Don't say you poker face. You just say poker face.
What's the difference between milk from a cow and milk from a goat?
Oh, God. What?
Oh, I wrote this joke. This is a real joke I created.
You give the punchline right now.
What's the difference between milk from a goat and milk from a cow?
What?
Utterly no difference. I literally wrote that joke. This is the only joke I've ever written in my life.
I like to tell bad jokes on my first dates. So I'm going to take that.
Here's a dollar, Peter. That's your royalties.
You guys are the worst.